What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Pucks in 7 with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
Well, we do know this round one is now complete. Round two is underway. There are, what, two, four, six, eight teams left. 16 began. We're into the conference semifinals at the moment. And again, it's NHL playoff action in the National Hockey League. It's been fantastic. Welcome back, Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash. Pucks in 7 brought to you by DamonBarber.ca. Log on to DamonBarber.ca right now. Enter the code PUCKSIN7 and get 25% off their fantastic products, skincare, beard care, a whole bunch of different things. If your team's still in this thing and you're growing the playoff beard, I encourage you again to go to DamonBarber.ca. We'll go west. Some news out of Winnipeg, not just about the Jets losing in their first round to Colorado, but news behind the bench. We'll talk about round two for those four teams out in the west as well in a sec. But let's begin once again, Vic, as we kind of do at this time of the season in the last number of seasons. Well, not last year, because they actually got through round one. They made it to round two. Boston and Toronto went to game seven. The Leafs fought back from being down 3-1. They won game five. They won game six. And game seven was tied. And then overtime came. Boston won. And I'll talk about how they won. Everybody knows in just a second. I couldn't believe that actually happened. Anyway, they lose. Boston moves on. Toronto again on the outside looking.
It pretty much went to script, really. I don't think anybody was completely shocked by it. I know the city. I was in the city of Toronto. I know you were as well. I was out and about at an event, but there were big screen TVs everywhere. Everybody was really into it. And I'll tell you something right now. When William Nylander scored, I thought, okay, they have this.
You texted me. You said, or after they, you said, I thought he did. Yeah, you did. Yeah, yeah.
I think they have this.
Yeah.
And I think that's also what made the heartbreak so much more severe for Leafs fans afterwards. Was it was just a matter of seconds, really, before Lindholm scored at the other end, and now all of a sudden it's tied up. And then, and then I instantly thought, they don't have this.
Yeah, I know. I think pretty much the entire Leaf population felt that way too.
I don't know how it's going to go. I don't know if it's going to happen in regulation. I don't know if it's going to happen in overtime. I don't know who's going to make the mistake. I don't know who's going to be the hero for the Bruins. But you did feel it was going to unfold in that fashion as soon as the Bruins tied it up so quickly
after
Nylander scored the goal ahead. But honest to goodness, and you listen to poor Samsonov is tossed into this game. Mm-hmm. And I say poor Samsonov just because he had not a great deal of notice before he found out that he was coming in for Joseph Woll, who was experiencing tightness or some other injurious issue of some sort. And he's owning it himself. I needed to play better. Hey, buddy, you played pretty well. You let in two goals. And again, the Leafs didn't score. And when you look at the numbers on Toronto's power play, and I will come back to that over and over again, special teams in the playoffs. This was the strength of this Toronto Maple Leafs team all season long, and they were what did it end up being, Ryan? Was it 1-for-22 or 1-for-23?
It was 1-for-20-something. Let's just leave it at that. I think it was 22.
It's deplorable.
It was utterly deplorable. No, it's awful. The goal that won the series for Boston. So many things had to go right with that dump in. And what I mean by that is it had to hit that whatever part of the boards it did to come out at that perfect angle for Pastrnak. And then Samsonov, people were saying, well, why didn't he come out to play? Well, I don't think he could have because it was outside the zone. And then it went in. But I thought, okay, that was a design play. Because if you watch it again, Lindholm's about to shoot it.
You see
Pastrnak top of the screen. Boom. And who does he blow by? Marner, who just came on the ice. That was his guy. And to be honest, I think looking at some of the Leafs on the way back, trying to check that play, they didn't think it was going to bounce like that either. I'm sure nobody did. I'm sure the Bruins didn't. They hoped it would because that was the play. But, Vic, it had to be perfect. And at that point, I saw going like, you know what? There's these demons still with Toronto. There still is. Whether it's Boston, whether it's the playoffs, it doesn't matter. The fact is, stuff like that happens, and it always does to Toronto. So,
but the fact also is, though, Ryan, they were terrible in games 3 and 4. 4 was a disaster.
Yeah, 4 was
so bad. If you just, getting back to the power play, just again, if they had scored a couple of extra power play goals, a pair.
Yeah, there's always
three.
Yeah, there's
this
always
doesn't go 7 games.
And there's
in
always
that game, if they had scored with, right?
Yeah, and there's always, if Nylander was healthy for the whole series, if Matthews was healthy for the whole series, I think the Leafs would have won. I honestly do. I think they would have won. And they should have won.
But and we can say, they ran into a hot goalie forward. Again. Because they did. Jeremy Swayman played spectacularly. And it seems like every year we, as in the Toronto Maple Leafs, being a bit of a homer here, I apologize. I will move on. But the Toronto Maple Leafs seem to run into a hot goaltender. Other things happened. The bad luck stuff with the Matthews injury and the Nylander migraine and these other bits and pieces coming into place. They still had an opportunity to win this series. They had it on several occasions. It didn't have to go to overtime in a 7th game. They still lost. Yeah. It's fine. Yes, I mean, this was not a gimme. It wasn't expected to be a gimme, but I do understand why Leafs Nation is tired and fed up. You've only advanced, your team has only advanced once to the 2nd round only in 8 years.
Yeah.
And they are teeming with talent. It's not like that these guys are the bad news bears and they're the underdogs and ooh, let's see what we can do here. They were favored by a lot of people to go to the conference final.
Yeah.
So it's disappointing. That's all there is to it.
Yeah. So now it's what's next. And we had some media availability today. Again, this is Monday and we're on May the 6th. So they had some availability today. And Morgan Rielly spoke. He's been there a very long time. He's seen all this stuff, ups and downs and everything in between. And listen to these comments, because we've heard from him after a lot of these postseason exits, but I've never heard him say something like this.
I don't want to stand here and try to tell you that we're on the doorstep of anything, because, you know, we're sitting here today doing this. But the belief is there that it's attainable, but there's work and improvement that has to take place. So how close are we? I don't know. We'll see. It feels both attainable and a ways away, and that's what drives you as an individual, that's what drives a team forward.
We should make mention that clip is edited a little bit. We removed some ums and ahs just for brevity, but we did not remove any actual words. We should just say that it's that probably was a statement that floored me the most.
Uh-huh.
From the availability, because the rest of it, all the Leafs are playing. Of course, we want Michy to come back and Tavares wants to stay in town and Samsonov wants to re-sign and we love everybody. And oh, everybody said it's such a great room, blah, 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 blah. But for him to say that, he's acknowledging, he's such a grown up man. He's acknowledging our frustration at the same time, like basically saying, you guys don't want to hear it again that we're capable of doing this because we haven't shown you that we have, that we are capable because we haven't been capable. But at the same time, he's also acknowledging this can go any way at any time.
So looking ahead then to here's my take on what the Leafs should do. Number one, you look at the UFA situation. I would love to see Bertuzzi back. I'd love to see Domi back, and they've expressed interest. I do think that those would be two very good signings. TJ Brody is not coming back. Joel Edmondson, if you can get him for cheap, that's fine. Mark Giordano's 87 years old, so he's got to retire. I don't see Labushkin coming back either. And then in goal, the only one you have is Wall, who, and when healthy, I do believe is the number one. I don't think Samsonov's back. I don't think Jones is back. So that leaves to the core again. I do believe that they need to get rid of one. And they're not going to get rid of Tavares. No one's taken that contract. He has 1 year left. They just re-signed Nylander. They just re-signed Matthews. Mitch Marner has to go. And I'm not just saying because of how ineffective he's been, and he was very ineffective. He really was in the postseason. Whatever it is, he just doesn't do it. But I really do think that as much as people say, oh, the core four and Shanna plan and going forward, this is what we have to stick with, you have to make this move. You really got to shake it up, and I don't think he will be missed as many people think. And you can get a lot for him if there's a team willing to take his contract, and if Toronto goes in and say, okay, we'll give you a bit, we'll retain some salary, whatever. I do believe that has to be done.
They would have to do that. They also have to have him on board because, as we know, the no movement clause kicked in last July 1st. So, I mean, the organization was criticized at the time.
And he's not going to be on board. He's not. He's gonna whine and complain, and he's not gonna be on board.
Do you know what? I don't think people like to stay where they're unwanted. I really don't. I mean, you for every time that you have the Matt Sundin situation, because he was like, "I am not leaving this market. I'm not leaving this team." Most of the time, when you tell a player, "We don't want you around anymore," I don't know. I would want to leave. I've had my bags packed by the door. It's not.
I'd
it's very
leave
difficult.
Too. Marner thinks that the Leafs are treated like gods, right? So don't forget that.
Yeah, right. Let's actually address that in 2 seconds. Mm-hmm. But if they do have to find somebody who's willing to take the contract, the Maple Leafs are going to have to retain some salary. I think that goes without saying. And it has to be a destination. I mean, you're not sending him to Utah. I don't think he wants to go to Seattle. Like, they're just, it has to be somewhere where he feels that. So this is the double-edged sword here. It has to be a team that can accommodate the cap or the salary under their cap space, I should say. Mm-hmm. And it also has to be a team that's in decent shape. You don't really come across those too often. There's just different markets he's not going to be interested in. Can you talk him into Chicago maybe to play with Connor Bedard? And this is a team on the upswing. I don't know, because they're still years away.
No,
right? So you have to find the perfect fit there. But yes, ideally, and Mitch Marner is a hell of a hockey player, but ideally with all the other pieces you need to plug into this lineup. Hey, what's the definition of insanity, Ryan? Doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting a different result.
Yeah.
Right? So they have to make a move. He's the easiest to move. JT's not going anywhere. So I agree with you at that. And yes, the most interesting comments of the exit interviews. You have an issue. Mitch Marner said that, of course, he loves playing here. They are, the members of the Maple Leafs are treated like gods in this market.
You're not bigger than the game, Mitch. And that's fine. A lot of people think, and that's why Toronto gets a bad rap a lot of the time. Center of the hockey universe, whatever it is. The Hall of Fame's in Toronto. The Hall of Fame's in Toronto. I've never bought the whole thing of this is the best city in the world to play hockey. I've never bought it, and I never will. I just think that's a little bit arrogant of him to say that. I really do.
Do you not think it's true, though? I think they are. I think they're put on a pedestal, whether they should be or not. I think the fans do put these players on a pedestal that's way too high. Yeah. I do. And it suits some people, and other people need to get out of it. It's a cooker, man. It's a cooker.
We've got to move on. We've talked way too much about Toronto.
Yes, we have.
One quick thing I'll say is the easiest move to make is Keefe. Sheldon Keefe's going to be gone. Management's going to address the media on Thursday. He said this after the game. He said, when teams play the Leafs, they set up the game for the Leafs to beat themselves. I'm telling you, that to me is, yep, okay, I burned my own team, I'm gone. So he has to go. Craig Berube, I'm pulling for him to get behind the bench.
That's going to be a very different scene in that dressing room.
It will be. It will be. Okay, so Bruins move on, and they take on the Panthers. Before we kind of give you a little bit of a preview of that, a lot of the Panthers were watching Game 7, obviously, because they wanted to see who they play, either Toronto or Florida. And again, this was just this past Saturday night. Matthew Tkachuk, well, Boston won, and he kind of knew that it was going to be that way all along.
I was just happy I went through Game 7, to be honest, try to have them play another game. But no, at that point, it was late, so I just wanted to go to bed. But I wanted to see who won. So I think that, you know, without this coming out too badly, I mean, I think we all knew it was probably going to be Boston the way that series was going. And I'm sure a lot of people expect that at the beginning of the series. But plus, I guess you never know. But I think throughout the whole series, we were probably expecting they were going to come.
I don't like that. You do.
I love it. First of all, I don't believe it. I think he's saying this to mess, and he's being his Tkachuk-y best doing it. Uh-huh. Of course he didn't. He didn't think that the Bruins had this in the bag. Nobody thought the Bruins had this in the bag. He's saying it now to mess with the Bruins, and that's fine. I don't know. Maybe he wants to take a little bit of a dig at his fellow American skater and Austin Matthews as well. But I love this. It's a little bit of personality. It's controversial. And by other standards in other leagues, this is absolute milk toast. But for us, we're like, ooh, you know, he already knew, and he's dissing the Toronto Maple Leafs. I just find it incredibly entertaining. I find him incredibly entertaining. He gives us something to talk about, and I think it's great.
Panthers are favored in the series, I do believe, and kind of neat too, because these two teams, among the 192 days of the season, Boston with 159 and Florida with 28, held top spot in the Atlantic for 97% of the season, which is incredible. So it's 1-2 in the division, fighting to get to the Eastern Conference Final. Panthers obviously are more relaxed. They've rested as they knocked off Tampa earlier than Boston did Toronto.
They haven't played in like a month and a half. I can't even remember them.
They've been on the beach. They got to change the flip-flops for the skates, and they got to get going. Here, I'm going to say, I think Florida's the better team. hands down, and I'm going to pick them in six to move on.
I have them in six as well, even in my submitted picks. Do I have them in five? I have to recheck that. It's five or six, though, but I definitely don't have them in seven. I will say this, it's a few interesting elements. Boston did own them during the regular season. They
yeah,
were
but
4-0.
That means nothing. That means nothing. Look what happened with Colorado and Winnipeg. Look what happened. It means nothing.
I agree with you 100%. Yeah. I'm just pointing it out.
Yeah.
If Swayman continues to stand on his head, mm-hmm. if Pasta wakes up, and I think scoring that overtime winner against the Leafs is going to help him do so, because Pasternak was almost a non-element in that first series with the Leafs. If he wakes up, that's going to help. And if they figure out how to stifle Carter Verhaeghe, who absolutely owned them last spring, then I think the Bruins have a shot. I still think the Panthers are going to come away with this one.
Yeah, Panthers are the better team. They seem to be, again, this is a rematch, not that it means anything, because last year Boston blew a 3-1 lead and Florida came back to win and all that stuff. So anyway, we'll see. So you have the Panthers in either five or six, and I have them in six to move on to the Eastern Conference Final. Canes Rangers, no surprise. I have the Rangers in six. We did our picks too for the fourth period, and which we do the Hot Stove and Sirius XM. And you tweeted out, you're like, a lot of Rangers love, not too much Canes love. Game one's done. New York winning 4-3. To me, I think the game was a lot closer than the score. I'm a lot further away than the score indicated. I do think the Rangers look good, and I think they'll be dominant, even though Carolina's a great team.
I have the Canes in six, and I'm sticking with it. I was actually allowed a leeway because we didn't have to submit our picks officially until after game one.
Yeah.
I'm going to stick with the Canes in six, and you're like, Victoria, that's insane. They're already down one. That means the Rangers are only going to win one more game. I disagree with you wholeheartedly. Mm-hmm. I watched that game from beginning to end, and without the two power plays, without Carolina committing the D'Angelo stupidity and the second penalty as well, just get D'Angelo off the ice. Hopefully Brett Pesce's coming back. Whatever.
Right.
Without that, this is a very, very different hockey game. And even when they went up ahead, opening the door like that, because it was 1-1. Where they gave up the two penalties in a row and the Rangers scored the back-to-back power play goals, Zibanejad and Trocheck, I believe, maybe not that order. It's going to be completely different. The Rangers are not the same team 5-on-5. If Carolina, a very disciplined team for the most part, can keep themselves in check, can behave themselves, and don't offer too many power play opportunities, or even any. I mean, give them one a game, but you've got to behave yourself. Then I think this is going to swing in Carolina's favor.
And you know what, too, when you say behave yourself, you would think that in the postseason, guys would get that. Maybe the game one, I think there was a lot more penalties in game one. I think actually, statistically speaking, legitimately, there's a ton more called in the first round and then less in the second, all that, because the refs put the whistle away. But I think in games one or two of a series, there's a lot more. But you're right. Got to settle down. You can't give Carolina too many opportunities because they're just that good. And let's not forget, too, they didn't really do much in the first round, neither of those teams. They breezed. They eased their way through round number one. So you have the Canes in six. I have the Rangers in six. We shall see. You want to say congrats to the Toronto team and the PWHL.
They finished, they wrapped up the regular season and finished top of the table, very deservedly. Natalie Spooner, oh my goodness, you want to talk
amazing.
You want to talk about a hockey god in this market? That's going to be my number one choice. And what is very interesting now, and they said they're going to announce it by 7:30 tonight again, it is Monday, May the 6th. They get to choose their opponent from the third and fourth position, which is Minnesota and Boston. Yep. There's already rumors they're going to pick Boston. So everybody's like, oh, Toronto, Boston again. Oh, my goodness. I mean, it's a completely different ballgame.
Who's saying that? Who is saying that?
People who need to talk.
My gosh, people.
It's still fun. But the fact, it's like now you are actually picking your poison by definition. You are choosing. You're sending a message to your first round opponent that we think you're crappier than the other team. And I love it. I love the fact that you earned the privilege of choosing your opponent. I also love how that's going to put a fire in the belly of the other team as well to come out and go, oh, you think that you're going to roll over us. I think it's fantastic. The NHL will never, ever, ever adopt this. Not in our lifetimes, not in our children's lifetimes. But I wish they would, because the NHL changes nothing unless forced to. But it is exciting, and I think it's a great rule.
Just go back to 1 through 16, NHL. Just go back to, well, actually, no, because we got 32. Just
you
do
can
one
do
through
one through 16, but you have to reward the divisional leaders. So one,
yes,
two divisional
yes.
leaders.
Yeah, yeah. Agreed.
And then
agreed.
13 through 16
yep.
after that. Absolutely. But again, Ryan, they will never do it because they hate change.
Two quick stats about Boston, and maybe these are two reasons why Toronto does want to play Boston. Number one is that Boston scored the least amount of goals in the season with 50, averaging just about 2.08 per game. And the power play, terrible, worst in the league, at a success rate of 7.5%. It's been a great year, by the way, in the PWHL. Like, it's been, I've watched so many games, and I'm so, every time I see it and hear about it and read about it, I'm just so happy that this has finally happened.
It was a very big step that needed to take place.
Massive.
And now that we've taken it, it's all about growth, and the future is bright.
It is. That was the Eastern recap. We'll go West. We'll talk Vegas and Dallas. The Avalanche know who they're going to play. Canucks and the Oilers will get going. We'll talk about the draft lotto and news out of Winnipeg involving their head coach. Tucks and Seven, Ryan Payne, Victoria, Matty Ash, we will be here.
Welcome back to Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
That was the East. Let's go West. Welcome back, Pucks and Seven. Ryan Payne, Victoria Matiash, brought to you by DamonBarber.ca. Log on to DamonBarber.ca right now and enter the code Pucks and Seven. 25% off. They're fantastic products. You and I talked in the break about one specific product, Victoria.
I know somebody who bought the aftershave balm and they think it's amazing.
It is. It is.
So I can't, I don't
I was going to say, was that you?
Fortunately, yeah. I will say.
Right.
I do not use aftershave balm, but this person does and he loves it. And he actually went out of his way to mention that to me. So I didn't even ask him.
Amazing.
So that
Again,
means it's
Damon,
true.
DamonBarber.ca. Fantastic products. Pucks and Seven. Enter that code. You get 25% off. We'll talk about the Jets. We'll talk about the Avalanche. We'll also do the draft lottery too. News out of Winnipeg involving Rick Bonus. Let's begin with the series that just wrapped up. It was the other Game 7 going into the weekend, Dallas and the Vegas Golden Knights. Dallas winning by a score of 2-1. Remember, Vegas was up 2-0 in that series, and they come back, and they take it by a score of 2-1 to win it in 7 games. So the number one seed from the Central and the West, they win 4 of the last 5 after losing Games 1 and 2 at home. There you go. I had Vegas winning in 6, but obviously that did not happen.
I had Dallas in 7 because I'm brilliant.
Beautiful.
I get to say it when it's true.
You sure do. We all do. Yeah, and I own it. I've been owning this whole thing. A lot of things I've done and I've said, I've picked, have been wrong. So, oh well. Hopefully round 2 will be better.
It was, never mind, but it could have went in different directions. This is by far, Ryan, you would agree that this was the series of the first round.
Yeah.
Without question. And it could have went even down to the line, which it did go down the line. If you look at every single game and you remove the empty net goals, every game was a one goal game.
Yeah.
Even this last one. And again, I watched every single minute of this game. I was thoroughly entertained. No horse. Didn't really care who won. I mean, I wanted Dallas to win, I suppose, to get my pick right, but I didn't really care. It would have been fine if Vegas had won. It was just truly entertaining. They played clean. Only one power play. One penalty for each side. Nobody capitalized on the power play.
Yeah.
It was very even in all aspects, and both teams had opportunities up and down the ice. Both goalies were fantastic, but how about that Wyatt Johnson? Honest to goodness, you want to talk about an emerging star, not only in the postseason, but this regular season. This kid, he's not even 21 years old yet, and he already looks like a 24, 25-year-old superstar out there. And without him, I'm not sure that Dallas is advancing at all.
How about this statistic? You know, there's, lead the NHL in goals and assists and playoff and shots and all that stuff. So Wyatt Johnson leads the league in playoff shots on goal with 27. So he's shooting the puck a lot, and he's been very good. He ranks third in high-danger shots on goal with 12 behind Zach Hyman, who, no surprise, gets most of his goals in the high-danger area, and Sam Reinhart. How about this one? Johnston ranks third among NHL forwards in total miles skated.
I love that stat.
Okay, so here we go. Jack Eichel leads the way with over 25 miles skated. I mean, someone is literally looking at this every game and seeing how many miles
I love
these skaters skate. Mitch Marner, was second at 23.6 miles. A lot of that just in circles.
Oh, stop it. He also got up and down the ice. He played well defensively in a lot of games. Continue.
Yeah, missed that last pickup on
Pasternak. He did. Continue.
Wyatt Johnston, third at 22.8 miles. So anyway, just want to throw it out there. It's a fun stat, but I'm with you with this. He's been phenomenal. And, you know, we're not, yes, Jake Oettinger was good, and there's a lot of other players on that team, but I would not have thought going into game one or coming out of that whole series that the first name that we would really be talking about would be Wyatt Johnston.
No, you were expecting it's going to be Jason Robertson or maybe Pavelski or Jamie Benn.
Yeah. Jake Oettinger, whoever. But that's what makes these playoffs so exciting. And a lot of times this happens in the NHL where you get this one person who, again, is very good, but he just all of a sudden clicks. Now, will it happen in round two? Who knows? Maybe. But it's
he
just
has
one
been
of those
outstanding
things-
during the regular season as well. Yeah, so it's not so much out of the blue, but he's really blossoming at the right time. I will give Dallas this in game seven. They were a little bit more physical. They threw more hits. They blocked more shots. I think that helped. Jack Eichel was just on a mission, man. And the fact that they contained him from scoring or even setting up, I think that was the massive victory for the Dallas Stars. I think that was a big reason that they escaped. We can say escaped because it was a 2-1 final.
Sure.
But they escaped with that victory. And now they do move on. We're going to have a new Stanley Cup champion.
Yep.
Vegas Golden Knights are done. And very interesting to listen to Mark Stone. Full credit to Mark Stone. I know a lot of people don't like this guy. And it has nothing to do with the injury stuff and the IR stuff and all that. He really does bug a lot of people the wrong way. I think he's a hell of a hockey player.
Right.
But he spoke about 7 minutes afterwards. And I think that shows a lot of leadership because all you want to do is get in your car and go home and cry. You don't want to talk to reporters for almost 7 minutes. He did that. He said a lot of interesting things. And he talked very, very candidly about how this sucks.
People say it's addicting, and it is. I think, you know, I live for this shit. I think most of us do, right? As a hockey player, this is the most fun time that you're ever going to play playing hockey. You want to be competing for the Stanley Cup. So when you do lose and you get eliminated, it's hard. You know, it kind of crushes your soul for, you know, a couple of days. And, you know, seeing the next round start, it sucks. So
I fully agree with you saying that Mark Stone is something else, and he's a true leader in this game and not just for Vegas. And some of the people that don't like him, well, whatever. You can't not like someone who is as poignant as he was with that discussion. And it is addicting. I was looking at this statistic. Since their first season, Vegas has won 57 playoff games. This is all they've known. Tampa's won 62. So Vegas is second to Tampa, 5 wins less, but they've been around the league a lot less. So I totally get the whole addiction thing for Mark Stone. And injuries can be something that people would be discussing too over the course of the season with Vegas and maybe in the playoffs, whatever it is. But at the end of it, I love what he said. And I bet you if he could, the season started next week, he'd be right on the ice and start.
I think he'd probably want a couple weeks off just to recuperate
a little
bit.
First week back.
Back in June, I can see him back at it. I was thinking the other day too, remember him as an Ottawa Senator? Does that not feel like 25 years ago?
I don't. Like, I'm being legitimately, I don't.
Yeah. It's hard to remember that now. He's just been in the league he's accomplished so many different things. There have been so many different storylines that have followed him throughout his NHL career. It's just interesting to think back to that. But if you have anybody who wants to have the chance, go on to YouTube or Twitter or whatever. Listen to the whole thing because he's very candid. He's very forthright. He's very honest. And it's a very interesting interview.
Quick recap too. Vegas, John the Marchessault hit a post at 14:25 of the first. Wyatt Johnston scored 9 seconds after that. Jack Eichel missed an open net with 43 seconds left in the second. Radek Faskas scored 44 seconds into the third. The shot that glanced off Alex Martinez and found the. So it's just, I mean, hockey it's a great game, but it's also about bounces and inches and good luck and puck luck, whatever. Anyway, Dallas moves on. Who do you have going into this series? And more importantly, I guess, coming out of this series, Dallas and Colorado?
I have Dallas in 7.
I have abs in 6.
Oh, boy. We don't agree. Do we agree? No, we agree on Florida.
So we agree on Florida, yeah. And there's one more to go, which I do think both of us are agreeing on the next one, but I have the abs in 6.
Yeah, I have a I have an inkling we are, but we're at least going to be different on two, one in the East and one in the West. Yes. I have Dallas in the Stanley Cup final losing to the Carolina Hurricanes. So I'm not veering off that path now. I think this is
going
in seven. I think the Colorado, well, we're going to open it up right now. Colorado, we haven't seen play in a little while. Right. So, I mean, that series even feels, it wasn't that long ago, but it feels like it was a little while ago because we were so consumed with what happened over the weekend.
Yeah.
So who do you give the edge here to and why? Well, I mean, you already said so, but why? Why Colorado?
Number one, the speed.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, the offense and that they have Cale Makar. I give the edge and goal to Dallas.
You have to.
Georgiev's been good. He certainly has been a lot better than he was over the course of the season because he really didn't need to be very good because Colorado's been fantastic. But Jake Oettinger, I do believe they have the advantage in goal. I just think as good as Dallas is, it's going to be very hard to contain the speed of Colorado. And speed wins.
Yeah, so but I'm Dallas go is with fast those... too.
What's that?
Dallas is fast too. Dallas
not like Colorado.
Also...
Not like
I think
Colorado.
They can also. I think they can also skate.
So also, I said this going into the first round series against Winnipeg, that it was going to be either the Jets and their stingy defense and the great play of Hellebuck. That would beat Colorado and the great offense and the amount of goals that they scored. Well, the amount of goals that they scored, it doesn't matter. Hellebuck was not very good, and he actually admitted that. And I heard, too, one of his quotes, and you probably did, too. He said that he felt he was playing the best hockey of his life. And to go into the postseason and all of a sudden just stink, he said, I'm sorry. Like, he apologized. He's like, man, I had no idea it was coming. I was playing the best hockey in my life.
It's frightening to hear that you can really fall off a cliff like that. But you hear it from baseball players,
you
too.
Yeah, you
go at the ball, you're at bat, the ball looks like a watermelon for 2 months, and then all of a sudden it looks like a tic-tac.
Yep.
You hear that all the time. It's interesting how it can just change on a dime, because you never would have expected that to happen. But it sort of did for Georgiev as well. After game one, we're all watching going, oh, no, this is going to be an issue. And then games 2 to 5, he was actually very good, like not just okay. Mm-hmm. He was pretty great, Ryan.
Yeah.
So they continue to get that. I think that is Colorado's Achilles heel for me is still net minding. I'm super impressed with what Georgiev accomplished in the first round, without question.
Yeah.
But moving forward now, this is a different team. Winnipeg's offense is not Dallas's offense.
Dallas's offense
is a whole other enchilada. The most balanced. We talked about it a million times. How many 20 goal scorers on this team? We haven't seen the best. We haven't seen anything from Joe Pavelski yet. Actually, he had a lot of good scoring chances in game 7, but he didn't take advantage of any of them. I still don't think we've seen the best from Jamie Benn. I don't think we've seen the best from Matt Duchene or Tyler Seguin. The old guard needs to rise up a little bit here, and they know how to play Nate MacKinnon. And if you know, I think that's just an advantage that we're going to see unfold a little bit.
Game one is 9:30 Eastern. That's tomorrow in Dallas. Of course, games 1 and 2 in Dallas, as they are the top seed in that Western Conference. Let's move on. Vancouver and Edmonton, they have both advanced. So a couple of Canadian teams going at it this late together in a postseason, which is nice for those in this country who, again, were trying to get that cup for the first time since 93. Not that it's been that long. Yes, it has. Doug Gilmore, high stick, Gretzky, let's not go there. Anyway, Vancouver, Edmonton, I have Edmonton in 6, maybe even in 5, but I'll take Edmonton in 6. They're just too good. Vancouver's been good, yes, but they're not at the same on the same level as Edmonton.
I have Edmonton in 5 or 6.
Okay.
Again, I really should have prepped this more and had this printed out sitting in front of me because I was thinking about when I made my picks, I was wavering between 5 and 6 on this series. And now I have to check back and see which ones. You know what? Next time you start talking, I'm going to look this up.
Okay.
But it's definitely 5 or 6. I think I wanted to pick one series in the next round in 5 games just to like mix it up a little bit. And the Oilers to me, maybe compared the Panthers as well, but the Oilers to me was... I know what they're saying about, again, the Canucks 4-0 against this team in the regular season, but some of those wins were when the Oilers couldn't buy a win to start the season before they turned matters around.
Right.
It was a whole different scenario. We're not even talking the difference between the regular campaign and the postseason. We're talking a whole different era as far as this goes, and just in terms of how people were playing. I will absolutely concede that she lost was great. You are still putting all of your playoff eggs in essentially a 23-year-old rookie's basket.
Yeah, but every game is like just a game in Latvia.
Yeah, I love it. It's super fun, Ryan. It's just super fun. I love him.
Yeah, I know.
And if he comes out and proves me wrong and Vancouver ends up winning the series because she lost stands on his head, fantastic. I will absolutely eat that. But to me, when you're looking across at the Edmonton Oilers offense, the Edmonton Oilers special teams, you're looking at Zach Hyman and Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid and these players that Vancouver did not face with the Predators. Predators have one line as far as I'm concerned, and it's just not the same. This is not the same thing.
Yeah.
So it's going to be tough, and Vancouver is going to have to score a lot more, and they're going to have to shoot on net and register more shots on net than they did against the Predators, which was a historical
low. All they want to do is maybe get in the high teens every game. That's it. Oh, we're approaching 20. No more shots. Nope. That's it. No more shots. We're done. I think this is just almost Edmonton's year. I really do. They got by LA, but that's no surprise. And the Avalanche are leading at 5.6 goals per game, and Edmonton's right behind at 4.4. By the way, too, I was reading that Thatcher Demko may be able to come back in round two. Rick Tocchet was alluded to it, but you didn't know.
I don't buy that at all.
Who knows? No, I don't either. I absolutely don't either. Because last time we heard it was what? It wasn't day to day. It was like week to week thing, and that's an extension.
They're throwing that out there, I guess, to something to say. Maybe somebody's looking forward to the next round. Oh, you never know what's down the line. Maybe he can heal faster. This sounds like this is. If they make it to the Stanley Cup final, I think that's maybe when we do see him.
Right.
But to have made it there, they'll have to do it on the back of Shiloff's or Casey DeSmith, depending on how it works out.
Yeah.
So, I'm not counting. So that's again why I think that they're going to be in tough here against a next level offense in Edmonton. Next level.
No, I agree. Before we get to the draft lottery, Rick Bowness, he is out in Winnipeg, but it's not because he was let go. He announced his retirement. He's almost 70. He's been coaching for 40 years, so it's been a very long time. This is no surprise at all to me. And it specifically came out when he and the Jets were eliminated by Colorado in that fifth game. And one of the questions was, I'm paraphrasing, one of the questions was, you know, what does the future hold and all this type of stuff. And he basically said, I've already made my decision. And you'll see something like that. He's been through a whole bunch of things off the ice. It's been hard on him. And when this happens, he's at the point where he thinks, you know, I'm done. I'm good. There's more to life than hockey. And again, he's almost 70. It's not that 70-year-olds can't continue to do this in the NHL, but there's a lot that a head coach has to go through over the course of the season. So Rick Bowness, done from the game, at least for now.
Like you said, I don't think it has anything to do with the age either. I think it's more the resume, the fact that you mentioned it's 38 years coaching. You said almost 40. That's pretty much it. And then he played in the league and other leagues, actually. Not just played sparingly in the NHL beforehand, but he played in other leagues as well. But he has his resume is outstanding. I suppose the only flaw is he never won a cup, got to one Stanley Cup final, but never won it. And generally speaking, not too many playoff appearances, but I think that was more an issue of the teams he was coaching than his skill as a head coach.
Yeah.
The way that reading social media this morning when this announcement came out, again, not very surprising, but everybody speaking about not only what a fantastic coach he was and how people enjoyed playing for him. And I don't think everybody enjoyed playing for him, but that's going to ring true for any coach in any sport.
Right.
But especially people from the media and other people who have dealt with him in different organizations that he's worked for, about what a quality human being he is. And I think that's always nice to hear about somebody, because you know, when it's somebody who retires, who people don't feel that way about him, it's very quiet. They don't go, or if even when somebody passes away, they don't go, well, that guy was a jackass, because that's really rude and cruel. But they just
I'm sure some people do
that. But few. But in general, you just keep your mouth shut. You don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all, right? So, but everybody has a lot of nice things to say about Rick Bowness. And I think that speaks very loudly.
Yeah, it does. It does. He began coaching in 1984 as a Jets assistant. So it's been that long. Good on him.
Oh, as an assistant, you're right.
Yeah.
So 40 years altogether coaching.
84, 85 as an assistant,
That's a long time.
It's a long time. Yeah, it's a long time. The last one before we go, the draft lottery. I have an issue with the draft lottery, but we'll just leave it at that for now. We'll talk maybe about it next time after the draft lottery does happen. This obviously is going to determine that guy by the name of Celebrini, who everybody knows is going to be taken number one. Boston University, projected number one draft pick. San Jose, maybe, I guess, right now has the best odds.
I play on the simulator all the time. We should mention, too, the draft lottery is Tuesday night at 6:30. So it's going about a little over 24 hours from now. We're going to know who does have the first pick. And, of course, we do know who he's picking, as you mentioned. San Jose has the best odds at 18.5. It travels all the way down to St. Louis and Detroit, who are at 0.5. So St. Louis and Detroit are not going to win.
Right.
Topic. Right. Every time I play this, I get either Columbus or Montreal. And they're so Columbus is at 9.5. Mm-hmm. By the way, I highly recommend this if you're bored for like 15 minutes or you just want to de-stress and have a coffee. Go on here and play with it. It's lots of fun. Especially if you have one of your teams is in, like, let's say the top 6 or 7.
Right.
In opportunity of winning the number one pick. It's fun to play. So but San Jose is favored, then Chicago, Anaheim, Columbus, Montreal, and then Utah.
Hmm. Interesting. Here's what I think the draft lottery should be.
I knew you had to say something. I knew you were going to let it go.
Team
go ahead.
Every team should have one ball. Every team. You shouldn't be punished for not being able to take a really good player for playing well in the season. You shouldn't be rewarded for playing badly over the course of a season. Every team has one ball. And if, say, Vegas got the ball, then they get the ball. If San Jose did, then San Jose gets it. That's what I think should happen.
The league would never go for that.
I'm not saying the league should go. I'm just telling you what I would do.
That certainly would make it more fascinating. To me, I'm scrapping the lottery altogether. Just forget about it. Other leagues don't do this. I don't understand why we have to do this. The team that finished, so this is how you stop tanking. The team that finished top of the non-contenders gets the number one pick. So that gives incentive for a Columbus or a San Jose or a Montreal or one of those other loser teams mm-hmm. to not completely kick the rest of the season to the curb, continue to compete. Because if you finish 17th, if you just don't make the playoffs, you get the number one draft pick. And then, and so forth. So if you're third down from that, right? Because teams are still going to compete for the playoffs no matter what.
Yeah,
Why don't you reward those who try to the very end?
Yeah, I completely agree. So we're kind of on the same page. I'm more of 1 through 16.
Oh, you're total pro chaos. I love your idea.
Absolute
bedlam. Chaos. It's
so you get this. You get this massive bin full of these. Well, 32 different balls, and each one has a crest on it and a logo. And you're sitting and waiting. All 32 reps are in the arena. It's like, who's gonna get it?
Oh, that'd be amazing. Imagine last year the Oilers get Connor Bedard. It'd be insane.
How? Yeah.
Or the Leafs. Or oh my goodness, it would
insane.
I do love the chaos. They'll never do it.
No. Okay, we're out of time.
Let me summarize because I goofed this up all day.
Okay.
So I have Carolina.
Yes. Yeah.
Just to clarify and have it down, because I know everybody's writing these down and keeping them posted to see how Victoria does. Absolutely. Yeah. Carolina in 6. I do have Edmonton in 5.
Okay.
So there you go. I have Florida in 6. So that was the switch we were talking about. And I have Dallas in 7.
Okay, I think I am a little bit off on mine as well. I have, I was right at the Rangers. Rangers in 6. Oh, no, Panthers in 6. Avs in 6. Oilers in 7.
Okay.
And I've been dead wrong most of the first round. I'll just let everybody know that.
So, I did rather well.
You did, yeah. I didn't do so well. But it's not how you start, it's how you finish. Speaking of, we're finished. We'll be back. A lot of fun. Round 2 underway. Pucks in 7. Brought to you by DamonBarber.ca. Again, log on to DamonBarber.ca, enter the code PUCKSIN7 and get 25% off your fantastic products. Follow us on Instagram, on Twitter. We're also available on the SiriusXM app. Until next time.
PUCKSIN7, brought to you by DamonBarber.ca. Available on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.